We're going to read some verses this evening from the Word of God. We're turning to the Epistle of James and the chapter 5. James and the chapter 5. The Epistle of James, chapter 5, we'll read just from the beginning of the chapter. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure in the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Perhaps we could turn to our hymnbooks again. We'll turn to the hymn 443, Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief. And the hymn writer brings us again to the subject of patience. We'll stand by the singing words of this hymn, hymn 443.
Thank you.
We're turning our Bibles back to James chapter 5, and before we come to prayer, perhaps we could just think on the verse 7 of this chapter, but that's bound together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that thou art our God. We thank thee that thou hast promised to give us understanding. You've also promised to bring all things to our remembrance. And Lord, we claim those promises even as we come to thy word this evening. We are needed, and we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst come, and that thou wouldst minister to us through thy word, and that thou wouldst prepare us even for the seeking of thy face even this evening. So, Lord, to that end, I ask thee for help and for power, for I pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. Just before we come to prayer, can I draw your attention to James chapter 5 and to that exhortation of verse 7. James said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." I read recently of a man whose car stalled in heavy traffic. No matter what he did, he was unable to get the car restarted. To make matters worse, there was a long line of unsympathetic and impatient drivers behind, blowing their horns. Finally getting out of his car, he walked back to the driver in the car behind him, and he said, "I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started." He said, "If you go up and give my car a try," he said, "I'll get into your car and I'll blow the horn." Perhaps of all creatures, man is the most impatient. In fact, there is a saying, "Patience possess it if you can, seldom found in a woman and never in a man." However, James, realizing that both men and women have a problem with patience, we find him urging his readers in verse 7 to be patient. As if to emphasize the importance of patience, he illustrates it in the same verse with the patience of the farmer. Then in verse 8, he commands him to be patient. And in verse 10, he sets before them the patience of the prophets who suffered for speaking in the name of the Lord. And just in case they still had not grasped the thrust of his words, he mentions the patience of Job in verse 11. And then just for good measure, he throws in the word endure. In other words, he was telling them again and again and yet again to be patient. Patience is not merely something to be pondered, but it is something to be possessed. Without it, we will fail, and without it, we will make shipwreck along life's journey. Indeed, urging the Galatian believers to walk in the Spirit, Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And he reminded them that long-suffering or patience was the fruit of the Spirit. And as such, it was just as important as love and as important as faith and as peace. Again, the writer in Hebrews chapter 12, urging the Hebrew believers to run the Christian race, he said, "Run with patience." In other words, if they were going to cross that finish line and they were going to get the prize, then they would need not just energy, but they would need patience. In fact, failing in this very point, we find Saul in the pages of the Old Testament growing impatient. Instead of waiting for Samuel to come into the camp, he taking upon himself the office of a priest, he offered up the sacrifice. And as a consequence of his impatience, he lost his kingdom. Patience is not merely an extra, but patience is an essential. Our patience must be no shorter than our problems and no shorter than our persecutions. You know, in the Revolutionary War in America, Washington's strategy was to keep his army alive. The idea was that as long as there was a Continental army, there would be a revolution. So he just kept marching his army round and round in the hope that the British would eventually tire out. And you see, believer, tonight, the devil is out to tire you out. And as such, if you're not to be overcome, if you're not to be defeated, you need to have patience. George Swinnick, the great English nonconformist of the 1600s, said, "To lengthen my patience is the best way to shorten my troubles." And isn't that true? Had we not been so impatient, we would not have made those accusations against the Lord, only later to find that the Lord's way was right and that we were wrong. Had we more patience, we would have not given up on that venture. And having not given up on that venture, we would have come my home, as it were, not empty-handed, but laden down with great things. You see, in the Christian life, yes, we need power, but we also need patience. We need that spirit of perseverance, not to give up. Surely we can identify tonight with the man who prayed, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now." And you know, we need patience, and we need patience right now. If we're going to walk with God, if we're going to be victorious, we need to be patient. And so I want to draw your attention to James's exhortation here in regard to patience. Firstly, notice here that they were to be patient in their anger, reminding them of the past. He then adds in verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." The word patient here literally means to be long-tempered or to be long-suffering. When we go back into the opening words of this chapter, we find that these believers were being cruelly exploited by rich and powerful men who would stop at nothing to get their own way. They were refusing to pay proper wages. There was no doubt a longing in some of these believers' hearts to get even with these individuals. The natural reaction would have been to cry to the barricades. Some may have been ready to suggest that they should burn down the houses or the barns of these rich men, or to ambush them in the darkness of the night, or to steal their goods. And beholding within their hearts a carnal desire for revenge, James warns them here now, don't be hasty, but be patient. Or, as the word means, refrain from hasty retaliation. He was saying to them, don't be hasty, don't retaliate, just be patient. You see, revenge belongs not to the saint, but it belongs to the Savior. Rather than smiting our opponent, we should turn the other cheek. Indeed, the Philippian believers, becoming disgruntled and feeling that they had been ignored and slighted and seeking revenge, Paul, taking up his pen, he said in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He told them that they were to have the mind of Christ. You remember that when the Lord was a baby, they tried to kill him. But the Lord did not pour out fire upon Herod's palace. When they despised and rejected him, he did not insist on his rights and tell them who he was and from what kingdom he had come. But he stood absolutely silent. He patiently committed himself and his keys into his Father's hands. It was not that there would not be judgment,
but he left the judgment in his Father's hand. You see, rather than taking matters into our own hands, we are to be patient and we're to leave them in the Lord's hands. It always costs more to avenge injury than it does to bear that injury. Remember about hearing a little boy called Jack. And one day, all of a sudden, the mother in the kitchen, she could hear Jack screaming at the top of his voice. As you mothers could know, panic entered into her heart. She ran into the room. And there was Jack's little two-year-old sister. And she had him by the hair. And she was pulling for all of her might. The mother intervened and got her to let go Jack's hair and she settled him down. And then she turned to Jack and she said, Jack, do you know, she doesn't know it hurts. She doesn't know it hurts. And thinking you're all settled, she went back into the kitchen. And no sooner was she in the kitchen than she heard this time the little girl screaming at the top of her voice. And rushing back into the room, there was Jack and he was standing with a handful of his sister's hair. And he said, now she knows it hurts. And there is that tendency within all of us. When we are attacked verbally or we are attacked physically, to give revenge rather than to take the second blow. Oh, believer, when you're wrongly accused, and men attack you for no just reason, when men slur your name and pull you down into the depth, James is saying, be patient. Don't get uptight. Don't get all annoyed about it. Be patient. The Lord will look after your name. The Lord will look after your reputation. Take matters into your own hands, and what you do is bring more grief upon your head. Leave matters with the Lord. And you will bring glory to his name. When men attack you, be patient. Be patient. Leave it with the Lord. The Lord will deal with them. Also, they were to be patient in their anticipations. Urging them to be patient, he said, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. The husbandman was a tiller of the ground. And as such, he was speaking here of the man who goes out and plows and plants his field. And planting his seed, he then waits for the rain. The early rain coming in and around the end of October, it softened the hard, baked soil, enabling the little seed to burst forth and to push up through the ground. The latter rain then, coming in around the end of April, it gave the crop that final push, enabling it to mature. And planting the seed, the farmer knows, he knows that his crop will not be ready overnight. And as he waits expectantly, patiently, in his heart, for the harvest to come. So James was urging them here, to be patient and to wait and to expect the spiritual rain and the harvest. You see, we are to live expectantly, patiently waiting for the harvest. Indeed, seeking to encourage the men and women of this day to go forth and to sow the good seed of the word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 126 and the verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When we compare these words with the New Testament, we find that the farmer sometimes comes home carrying some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and sometimes even 100-fold. In other words, he was telling them that if only they would be patient, if only they would wait, the harvest would come. They would eventually return, carrying their sheaves within. You see, despite the outward appearance, the word of God is not dead. but it is alive. In due time, it will bring forth fruit. What is it that gives the farmer, the ordinary farmer, confidence to sow? It's two things. He not only has a covenant promise that as long as the earth remaineth, there will be seed time and there will be harvest time, but he also has his own experience. He can look back on his life and he can remember all those years that he plowed his fields and planted his fields and then reaped the harvest. And you see, believer, tonight, not only do you have the many promises of the Word of God, but do you not have your own experience? Can we all tonight look back to certain individuals in our lives and they heard the gospel, but they seemed unmoved? We almost gave up hope on them. We almost stopped praying for them. But then, after many, many years, they came to saving faith in Christ. My, they came to know the Lord. We must not give up. You know, two ladies were having coffee one morning, and one said to another, "Do you wake up grouchy in the morning?" The other said, "No, I just let him lie on as long as he wants to lie on." And in life, sometimes we can become grouchy. Now, we can be involved in the work of God, and we can be praying, and we can be planting the Word of God. We can be witnessing, and nothing happening. We get grouchy with God. And we say, "Lord, I ain't going to pray anymore. Lord, if you're giving up on him, then I'm giving up on you." But believe in the harvest will come. The harvest will come. You say, "Well, I don't know about that. There are many dark clouds." Well, you know, if there were not the dark clouds, there would not be the showers of rain. And if there were not the showers of rain, my, the seed would never burst forth. The seed would never grow. There would never be the harvest. And you see, believer, the dark clouds, the gloomy days, they're necessary. Even if we're to see the seed that has been sown sprouting forth, my, bringing life. And here's James, he said, "Be patient. Be patient. You know that the harvest, when it's planted, it's going to come. So remember the same. And when you sow the seed, be patient. Be patient. The harvest may take a long time, but there will be the harvest." Then thirdly, they were to be patient in their afflictions. Read verse 8, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." James here was writing to a people who were undergoing great trials and persecutions. In the opening words of this epistle, he refers to them as scattered rather than a sheltered people. Driven from their homes, they were being attacked again and again. And fearing lest they would be overcome, he now told them to establish their hearts, or more literally, to strengthen their hearts. The word actually means to fix or to plant, and it carries the idea of propping up. In other words, he was telling them here, prop yourselves up with the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. There is no greater medicine for the soul than the truth that the Lord Jesus is coming again. It will put iron into your soul. Indeed, writing to the Thessalonian believers, Paul reminded them the Lord was coming, and that descending from heaven, his saints rising up to meet him. He then added in the chapter 4, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And seeking to comfort their fearful hearts, he told them to consider the Lord's second coming. It would buoy them up in the sea of affliction. When going through hard times, don't look within, don't look without, look upwards. My, he is coming again. Did you ever go for a walk, maybe in the evening, and suddenly you were walking and walking, then you turned around and you just headed back, And no sooner did you turn around than you suddenly realize you were not as fit as you thought you were. Every step becomes a grudge. And you feel like giving up. But just when you feel like packing up, you lift your eyes and you see your house there in the distance. And suddenly you get a second wind. And now you begin to march on and you forget all of your aches and pains. And believer, when you're weary, lift up your eyes and see Christ coming. It will buoy up your heart. You think again of a mother expecting her child. I can remember many, many, many years ago going to visit a lady and she was expecting her first child. And I tell you, it was a difficult 9 months because the whole 9 months she carried a bucket round with her. She was sick many times every single day. But what kept her going? What keeps every mother going through those difficult months? One day she will look into her little boy or her little girl's face. And whatever your problems are, whatever your difficulties are, lift up your eyes and see the Lord is coming. My, it will cheer your heart. Campbell Morgan, the great Bible expositor revealing the secret of his perseverance, he said, "I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never began my work without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own." Are you weary? Impatient? Then lift up your eyes and see the Lord is coming. Then writer said it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And our trials will soon be over. Oh, believer, be patient. Be patient tonight. The Lord Jesus is coming again. We often talk about the patience of Job. However, if you read through the book of Job, you'll find that at times he went down into the very dumps. He was filled with agony. He was filled with anguish. But the word patient means to be long-suffering. It doesn't mean that you're not of trials. It doesn't mean that you're not of troubles. It means persevere. Persevere through them. And if we're not to make shipwreck, now we need patience. We need patience. We need to cry, "Lord, Lord, give me patience." In the midst of the afflictions, in the midst of the disappointments, give me patience. Patience to wait to see that seed bursting through that individual's heart, bringing everlasting and eternal life. My patience to wait for him coming again. How we need to pray tonight. Lord, give me.